Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named best radio show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
You're here today, the Bill Michaels Show, on a celebratory Tuesday. As the Bucks get the win last night, they close out the series against the Detroit Pistons, and the entire town, state, whatever have you, they are all talking about Bucks basketball. The unfortunate side of things was last night. I'm flipping back and forth and watching the Brewers just get smoked by the Cardinals, and the Brewers now find themselves in third place in the National League Central, 5 of 9 in their last 14 ball games, a pitching staff that has an ERA well over 6.5 right now, and not getting consistency in that particular phase of the game. Let's talk more with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com.
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline in St. Louis, where he had to watch that debacle last night, Adam McAlvey now joining us. Adam, how you doing?
Woo! Yeah, we were multitasking, too. We had the score of the Bucks game up, hitting refresh, seeing what was going on. So congratulations to them. I hope everybody has a great big hangover this morning.
I think a lot of people do. And if you're a Brewers fan, you probably have a little bit of a hangover yourself, wondering what the hell did you just witness? That's not the performance you were hoping for and not the major league debut as a starter you were hoping for. And in addition to that, a lot of people now questioning the pitching staff. At what point do you say, okay, enough, you can't let these games continually go by the wayside and you got to start making some moves?
Well, that's the question. And, I can only tell you what the outlook is inside the clubhouse and front office. And it's in the story today. I talked to David Stearns and Craig Counsell after the game last night and asked them sort of big picture whether they have to reassess, whether they made the right call about what they have in terms of these, mostly these young arms in the starting rotation. I think their outlook is they made this decision to go with these young guys. They think there is tremendous upside there, that if given the opportunity to pitch, they are going to be really good, and this is a playoff contending team with those young guys in the rotation. It's not happened so far, and I mean, the numbers are right there. I laid them out in the story. Zach Davies is being very helpful right now in keeping things from looking really ugly, because he's been extremely good going into his start tonight. And the question is, at what point do you have to pivot and try something different when the decision that you made isn't panning out? All I can tell you is they're not there yet. I can't tell you exactly when that changes, because that's the decision of David Stearns and Craig Counsell. But they continue to espouse confidence in the staff that they have cobbled together, and in giving opportunity to the young players. And I think that includes Adrian Hauser, because he was certainly, he wasn't on the opening day roster, but he was certainly part of the plan coming in. And that was a disappointing performance yesterday. The Brewers went from getting perfect gamed to a 3-3 game in the fifth inning, and then Hauser gave it right back, left a curveball way up to Paul Goldschmidt, who hit another homer. So it was a disappointing performance for Hauser that fits into a pattern of disappointing performances by these young guys.
I guess, the biggest argument I'm getting is, well, they're the small market and their budget and this and that. And the one thing that bothers me is when I sat there and we asked everyone, we asked Craig, we asked David, we asked Rick Schlesinger, we said, will money be the object that stands in the way of going out and getting someone? And they all said no, that if we believe that this guy is going to help us, that this is going to maybe stop the bleeding or maybe give us the addition that we need to put us over the top, that we're going to go do that. Do you see them saying, this year we'll throw caution to the wind, we're going to go ahead and make a move, whether it's Keuchel or Kimbrel or both or, you know, whatever. Do you see them doing something like that, or is this still going to be, we have to manage ourselves via the small market mentality?
No. I think the small market mentality is out the window. I mean, they are not operating right now as a small market team. Their payroll is right in the middle of the pack. And, I don't think you can accuse. I think the people who are accusing them of being cheap are missing the mark. I also think that the people who say they made $67 million or whatever number Forbes put out there, why don't they spend some of that $67 million? I think people are smart enough to know that that's wrong. I think that's just airing frustration on social media, because everybody saw the images of spring training. Everybody knows.
They've invested the money, yeah.
Everybody's seen the upgrades at Miller Park. They've heard about what's going on in the Dominican. They've seen the investing in the other players they brought in, Kane and Yelich, investing in those guys. And I don't think people really believe that there's a vault of $67 million sitting there that they're refusing to sign to spend on Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrel. But the other thing is there is a limit. And if you want to make a move, if you want to really throw these chips all in, and do you want to do that on, I guess the question is, do you want to do that on April 25th or whatever the date is? The answer so far, again, from inside the front office is no, that this is not the time to do that. Baseball is a funny game in that it's played with an everyday urgency. And here in Milwaukee, the people have seen how it comes down to one game. So these games are all really important. But at the same time, it requires this long view and this patience, that sometimes that patience can be rewarded in the long run, and you come out ahead in the end if you stick by your original evaluations of the players you've got. And if you stick through them through bad periods, I'm talking about, you know, Woodruff and Peralta and Burns and Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, you come out ahead in the end if you stick by the evaluations that led you to build the team the way you built them. And that's, again, I don't know the right or wrong answer. I'm certainly not saying the people who think it's time to go out and make changes are wrong, because the numbers are certainly smacking you in the head right now. But I'm just telling you where my sense of where David Stearns in particular is at, that he is not, that the answer to him is not signing a bunch of guys and making a bunch of changes. The answer to him right now is trying to see if they can get through this first before you start going to that end. Now, look, I'll say one thing about an addition. I think Gio Gonzalez is a guy that makes sense. I don't think the investment would be, really franchise changing. He's now a free agent. David Stearns won't say that, no, they're not going to do it. Been there, done that. He basically says he can't comment either way. He's in a situation. It's a tough situation for a GM and doesn't want to say something, and then he doesn't rule it out. And I don't mean to jump to a conclusion that says that means they're going to do something with Gio, but I think he's a guy who at least makes sense to look at that could come in and kind of augment your staff, give you a little bit of stability, at least a guy that you can count on to give you five decent innings every fifth day. I think that could help right now where they try to stabilize the rest of those spots.
What is the level of concern with, say, Arcia and Braun and Shaw and Aguilar right now, who just have not been able to get consistent hits and get on base consistently?
Yeah, look, it's this period of the season where you look up on the scoreboard and you see these bad batting averages and everybody, you know, freaks out. But again, I think with them, it's you look at what you have to look at what they've done before and let it guide you to what they are capable of doing now. That's another really frustrating concept to people who see losses go on the books and think that they're squandering opportunity early. But again, there are tons of opportunity or there are tons of examples in this game where if you stick with a guy, you're paid off in the end. I mean, this is the extreme example, but remember Paul Goldschmidt at this time last year?
Yep.
And the D-backs? And it was like, oh my God, Paul Goldschmidt has lost his ability, and what are they, you know, people in Phoenix were, even with Paul Goldschmidt, people in Phoenix were freaking out. And he ends up being a top 10 MVP finisher again. So, look, I think in the case of Jesus Aguilar, they have a really good foil to him and Eric Thames, who's a left-handed hitter. They face a lot of right-handers. There's reasons, you know, right in front of you to play Eric Thames a little bit more right now, and I sort of expect that they will. But Craig Counsell, I asked him about this yesterday, and Craig Counsell said that's less about getting production from that spot, or it's as much about getting production from that spot right now as it is trying to figure out how do we get Jesus Aguilar to produce, because they view him as so important to the puzzle of this offense. And they think that, you know, whether it's at the level it was during the first half last season or not, even if it's something close to that, that he can be a really productive player for them, a really productive hitter, a good enough first baseman, and just a big part of the team. And how do they access that is the question. And the answer is not, you know, goodbye Jesus Aguilar, we're going to play Eric Thames for the rest of the year. The answer is trying to find the right combination to get both guys producing and again, get a little bit out of Jesus Aguilar's bat. That's the one spot where they have a really good answer behind him. I know people will make the argument for Travis Shaw because of the infielders they have in the minor leagues. But Shaw, too, this is a 30-plus homer guy two straight years. Look at the OPS. Just look at the production there. That's in there. It's not been there so far this season, but they are going to continue to try to get it because that's too important a player, too steady a contributor in terms of the big picture year to year to just, you know, say goodbye and move on.
Yeah, and last night, it's very rare you're going to get 0-for-7 from the top spots in the lineup as well between Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich.
I will say that it's been exposed a couple of times in the last few days of when a team contains Christian Yelich. This offense is not very good
right
now. And that runs totally contrary to their evaluation of this team going into the year. And I think it's another example of you need to trust what led you to make the decisions you made to build the team in the face of this early season struggle. And I believe they are going to press forward with the belief that this is going to be a good offense, 1 to at least 7. That they are going to produce. And it's just a matter of grinding it out through these periods where there's spots in the order where you're not getting any production. And to resist the urge to think, and this is this is what we all think in the press box, and I think people think on their armchairs and maybe in radio studios too. The answer is always change something. When something's going bad, the answer is always change something, right? Fire somebody. Release somebody, make a trade, sign a player, because that's our snap judgment. That's really easy to do when you're not the ones making the decisions that are going to impact the rest of the season. When you're in David Stern's shoes, you have to look at it a little bit differently. And again, all I can do from my spot, I'm really trying to keep opinions out of it, just try to share a little bit about his thinking right now. And again, his thinking right now is that this is a good team. It's in a period where it's not pitching well, and there's spots in the order that aren't hitting well against the toughest part of their schedule for the full season. And he right now is more in a ride-it-out mode than a blow-it-up mode in April. And I don't think that should really be surprising if we're logical about it.
Hey, Adam, I know I got to run. I'm way over time here, but just in a 30-second synopsis, has there been any muttering of Lee Tunnell or Derek Johnson?
No, honestly, I haven't heard it. And I think it's fair, especially Derek Johnson was a very big part of the success of this team. You're seeing these guys throw tons of fastballs for a while, most in the league. I think that's all fair to look at. But if you're talking about inside the organization, absolutely not. I think Chris Hook is a guy who's been in the organization for a very long time, very well respected. And I just have a feeling that by the end of the year, he's going to be, you know, lauded more than he is criticized, just like Derek Johnson was.
Always good, Adam. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
There you go. Adam at CalvaryBrewers.com, MLB.com, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Up next, Coach Budenholzer. You're going to hear from him right after this on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Trying to press up on Giannis.
Off the screen set by Ilyasova.
Wow.
Man, he flew to the rim.
Yeah, that's one for the time capsule right there, buddy. We'll be watching that dunk for years to come.
It starts with us being better defensively and then everybody running and playing with him. And when he has opportunities to either share it with his teammates or get to the rim, and he takes a pounding, but I think he's built for it. And I think he was great at the free throw line in the second half. We struggled as a team in the first half at the free throw line. So, yeah, Giannis was special tonight with 41.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad you are on board. Those are the words of Budenholzer, also the play-by-play from Jim Paschke, Fox Sports Wisconsin. And it was, on one hand, it was a pleasure. On the other hand, it was sad because last night, listening to Marcus Johnson and Jim Paschke sign off, realizing that that's it. Now it goes to the NBA. And the Bucks broadcast for the season has now come to an end. But the Bucks get the win. They come back home after the sweep of the Detroit Pistons, get a day or two off. Take it easy. Rest. Relax. Watch some more basketball. Get away. Go to dinner. Enjoy yourselves. Hang out. And as you know, this team most likely is probably back in the gym today. You probably got Giannis leading the battle cry as everybody's walking into the gym on a lockout day saying, no, go enjoy yourself. But everybody's still in there doing treatment and lifting and doing whatever it takes to get themselves better and get ready for the next series. And that is against Boston coming up this weekend. The exact date and time we do not know as of yet. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Hey, I've been telling you for a while, erectile dysfunction, look, if it's there, it's affecting you. If you're somebody that it is affecting, even though you may not have it, all you got to do is call 414-455-4451. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical. They have a 98% success rate. If you have the low T, maybe you don't even know if you have it. You're just tired all the time. You can't figure out why. Every morning you wake up, you feel like you got beat with a bag of oranges. Maybe just, you know, you're over the age of 30, you don't have any energy, no stamina. Just all you got to do is call them. 414-455-4451. Or jumpstart the all-in-one weight loss program. And it's getting warmer. And T-shirts were out this weekend. And some of you need to hit the gym. And maybe you want to jumpstart the all-in-one fitness program and the weight loss program. All you got to do is call. It really does work. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. Now, last night in the game, you saw Giannis come out at halftime after missing a couple of free throws in the first half. And that's right where he went to, the charity stripe, and started working on his free throw shooting. And he was really clutch down the stretch, scoring most of his points actually from the free throw line in the second half of the ball game. And Coach Budenholzer talks about Giannis and the free throw shooting.
I mean, certainly, you know, him getting a lot of attempts is going to help him with his rhythm. And, you know, he got comfortable. I don't know what he was in the first half, but I just know overall we weren't good. And felt like he made them all in the second half, and he was getting there a lot. So I do think, you know, you keep going, and especially you're making them, you feel good.
In addition to that, he also said, we are at our best when Giannis is not only, shooting the ball himself, but he's also dribble driving and penetrating and putting it up, to other guys himself.
You know, they're trying to find ways, I think, to guard, you know, Giannis in the post, guard him in, as he attacks the basket. And Nico hits a three, Bled hits a three off of double teams. And that's when we're at our best. You know, Giannis is great about attacking. And then when teammates are open, he shares it and they make shots.
In addition to that, you got Lopez. He came back into the game in the fourth quarter, which when he went down, I was one of the, you know, that type of thing. But when Lopez came back and looked to be good, him coming back in that fourth quarter was key.
Definitely concerning. He just felt like something in his back just wasn't quite right. And, you know, credit to our medical staff to go to the back and get him where he felt good. He said he was ready to go. And, you know, he was a big part of, you know, another stretch where he just felt like he blocked several shots consecutively. And we got out and played off those blocks. And, you know, he's been doing that for us all year.
Also, Bud says, hey, they expected the Pistons. Now, I didn't think the Pistons would come out tough. Now Budenholzer said, hey, look, this is it. Elimination game, you expected the Pistons to play hard.
They came out as we expected they would. But I think hopefully, you know, we responded in the second half, especially defensively. And our defense usually fuels our offense and got out in transition, played, you know, in some situations where we like. And, you know, able to get the win and move on.
Also, Budenholzer said, give Detroit credit because they came out and they just flat out put it to us early on.
Give Detroit credit for how they started. I'm not sure we were at our best, but certainly Detroit was very, very good. And the playoffs are different. You know, I think our guys were ready. It's just Detroit was better than us coming out of the gate. But credit to our players for just kind of maintaining a steady approach. And, you know, I think that's going to be key for us. We just got to keep our focus, keep grinding on teams, keep trusting our defense, and hopefully we can turn it if we don't start well.
This is a team that even if they don't start well, their defense has kind of picked them up. Transition basketball has picked them up. And then obviously when they don't shoot the ball well, usually it's a second-half adjustment, and they've come out and really won some games and blown games open in the second half. But it's a good night overall for the Milwaukee Bucks last night.
Enjoy it. You know, for the players, they'll probably take a day tomorrow and enjoy it, and the coaches will kind of move on and start working on Boston tomorrow. But I think organizationally, our fans, our city, everybody, it's a good night for Milwaukee. It's a good night for the Bucks.
It was a tremendous night for Milwaukee, and the same for the Milwaukee Bucks, who now sit back and, like he said, enjoy it for a day, you know, take a day off, breathe a little bit, get some treatment, and then get back at it and get ready for Boston. That series is going to be a big one. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. We will talk a little green and gold. Yesterday, Brian Gutekunst had some things to say to the media, and the guy that was there, Mike Clemens, our green and gold insider, we're going to chat with him coming up. Also, after the top of the hour, we're going to talk some NFL draft. Dan Shonka from the Arlad Scouting Service, he is going to be here, and we'll ask him maybe who the first two picks of the draft will be for the Green Bay Packers and what he's hearing. Stay tuned for that. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
For me, I've been around two of the best that have ever done this, and Ron and Ted. And as good as they were, they had their misses too. So, you know, I think there's pressure to get it right each and every pick, each and every signing. But for me, it's always been about the team. You're always thinking about the team and how you can make it better and understanding that it never stops.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Mr. Gutekunst. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of your Green Bay Packers, trying to get this team better. Going to hear from Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio coming up here momentarily. A sad note today in the world of restaurants, specifically in the city of Milwaukee. Joe Bartolotta passed away last night. I just found out. Fox 6 had the story crossed a little while ago. Joe is an icon in the state, but more so in the city of Milwaukee with all Joey Girard's and Bartolotta's. And oh, my goodness. Man, what a sad day at the age of 60. What a terrific guy. But Joe Bartolotta passing away today at the age of 60, unfortunately. Man, that was quite the blow. Joe is such a good friend. And when I read that, I had to actually go search and just make sure that I wasn't reading some kind of spoof. But what a tough day today. Sad to see Joe pass away. They said he passed in his sleep at the age of 60. So man, oh man. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our Green and Gold Insider. Michael, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm just hearing this now. You know, half a dozen of the best restaurants,
yeah,
around Milwaukee, around the Midwest. Cindy and I got engaged at his one in Lake Park.
Yeah, the Lake Park Bistro.
Yeah, he was so creative.
Yep.
He was so much down to the basics and getting it done, and he made it all look easy. But fantastic restaurants, and so our condolences to his family and all of his staff that loved working for Joe Bartolotta.
Yeah, what a great guy. What a great
guy. Well, so I'm not as thin, as thick-skinned as you are, Bill Michaels, because I'm getting emails from listeners and stuff on Twitter, and maybe I need to shut down on the social media because, trying to have discussions, just trying to enlighten the folks about what are the Green Bay Packers thinking when they bring in quarterbacks a week before the NFL draft.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do? And, people throwing around words like moron, idiotic.
Right.
And they just signed Aaron Rodgers. Why do you think? Okay, let me get the record straight for people. Ted Thompson comes into Green Bay after his run in Seattle and talks about, he doesn't want to make the same mistake an NBA team when they took Sam, was a Bodie, and instead there was Michael Jordan was still on the board. You take the best player available. You do not draft by need. Every time you do that, you're going to get in trouble. So in 2005, Ted Thompson had a lot of needs, and he addressed them later in the draft when he used his second-round pick on a safety, Nick Collins, from a little school in
Thune Cookman.
Yeah, that a couple of their print reporters turned around and said, Bethune Cookman, where the hell is that?
Right.
And he took a wide receiver in Terrence Murphy, who would have been, the next Randall Cobb for not the neck injury. He had to take some guards. He let go Mike Wall and Marco Rivera. He needed guards. He needed safeties. He had all kinds of needs. And there he is. And it had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers dropping like a rock in the first round. It really had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with, Brett Favre, he keeps putting off the team. Favre had only done that earlier that year after they lost once again to the Vikings, and Favre didn't come out and talk to us after that playoff loss to Randy Moss and company, the moon in the crowd game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Favre had it. Like, I don't want to do this anymore and end up on the short end of these games anymore. And he may have been frustrated with Sherman, might have been frustrated with the roster. And so he started that holding out. But that was like the first year he did that. He would have his holdouts longer in 6 and 7 after McCarthy came and all that, and after Ted Thompson took over when he was trying to get Randy Moss to Green Bay and all that. So they weren't worried about Brett Favre. When you're sitting in that chair, what can I do the very best for my team right now? Right now. And Andrew Brandt, who was the vice president of finance back then, says, I was sitting in the room. The line said first round. And when they got to us at 24 in 2005, there was only one name left above the first round line. And that was the kid from Cal, Aaron Rodgers. And so Ted looked at the value of him, which was probably, they probably thought he was at least a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith had gone to the 49ers first overall. So we just looked at the number value and said, that's a pretty good quarterback, fifth round value, or top five overall, and here we are at 24, take the damn quarterback. And when Ted came to Green Bay, for the last 4 or 5 years under Sherman, what did they do? They got away from drafting quarterbacks. They got away from what Ron Wolf said was, bring in quarterbacks, man, they're a commodity. You might get a Matt Hasselbeck and get something for it down the road from the Seattle Seahawks. So that's why they took Aaron Rodgers. It's because it was the best value on the board, not because they had a quarterback succession plan or any of that other garbage. It was the guy that was on the board. So Gutekunst was asked about this yesterday, about, so you bring in Drew Lock from Missouri, and you wanted that other kid too, Daniel Jones from Duke, you're going to try and bring him in, but there's a scheduling conflict. Is there a succession plan in place in Green Bay at quarterback?
The whole succession plan thing, I think, is a little bit, overhyped or whatever. I think, I go back to when I first started, and then when Ted came back, we value that position extremely highly. And I think, every year we spend a lot of time on the quarterbacks and trying to, figure out if what kind of players those guys are going to be in the NFL. And that's really, really important to us. Because if you don't have one, it's really tough to win in this league. So for us, it's just about each and every year trying to decide which of the guys that could potentially be starters in this league and difference maker type players, and then if you have the opportunities to take them sometime in the draft, and that's the best thing for your team, I don't think you can hesitate with that. Again, we're lucky to have the best player in the NFL playing that position right now, but at the same time, just like I was talking before, your needs can change just like that. So I think it was just doing due diligence. There's always questions specifically with those guys maybe that are a little more thorough, more in-depth that you got to get to the bottom of, and so we were trying to do that.
And when he says your needs can change like that, that's a nice way of saying, think of Jay Gruden and the Redskins, and he's got a season all set up with Alex Smith, who's the same age as Aaron, and then look what happens to him.
Right.
Or Joe Theismann 30 years ago. Or Teddy Bridgewater just a couple of years ago running around on a practice field. This can happen to any quarterback. It's football. Suddenly, your quarterback can't play anymore. I know it's high odds, but it just happened to Alex Smith, Aaron's counterpart in that 2005 draft, and suddenly you're left hanging. So the bottom line is, if the Green Bay Packers think that any of these guys, quarterbacks, are worth a 12th or a 30th overall pick in the first round, and they're up there on the board four or five ticks ahead, if Drew Locke drops for some reason, they might take him, because that's what the value of your board says, not necessarily your needs, or that you just signed Aaron Rodgers to, you know, a lifetime deal in Green Bay.
You hate to draft for need. I mean, the best time to draft any player is when you don't need a specific player, because you can just look at the value on the board versus the talent you're getting, Mike. And if they took a quarterback in the first round, I'd be shocked, unless, of course, a miraculous thing happens and one of these guys fall.
You'd be just as shocked as you were in 2005.
2005,
and I'm not
though.
That they are. But I'm just saying, when you're on the clock, all that other crap goes aside.
Contract, no, I agree with that.
You're looking at a blank board, and the clock is ticking. It's like, who's the best player I should take right now? And the GM has got, you know, certain feelings too, because, you know, I don't think he's getting rid of the scouts like they did in Oakland. But the GM has basically said, you know what? There's 20 guys up there, and there's two or three I really think are going to be absolute terrific NFL players. And one of those drops, and it doesn't matter what the position is. I can't read the guy's mind, but he's probably got his favorites that he wants to bring into Green Bay that could help his team out in anything, special teams, defense, offense, whatever. But Gutekunst, he told a really good story when we were in Indianapolis about this week leading up to the draft and the alleged misinformation that teams put out there, and about the fact that they would bring in some of these college players. Now, Ted, you know, just locked all that stuff up. He did not want people to find out who was coming in. The only way you could find out is usually from the kid's agent or something. And Ted sometimes turned down some of those visits because it's like, we've got enough information. Let's get our board ready. Here we go. But Brian Gutekunst is like, no, you know, I don't think that's due diligence. Because if you're allowed to bring in 30 players and you know you can only get two of them, that's 28 you're talking to that will never be on your team. But this is the best time in the world to interview these guys that you're going to be going up against to get into their head. So, you know, if Denver takes Drew Locke as a quarterback, you're going to face that guy sometime in a game. And so you want to get into his head. Ted, though, said, you know, that week leading up to the draft, there's a lot of subterfuge going on. And everybody got a laugh out of that, because that's a, you know, special word about deception, deceit, intentional subterfuge. So we got a kick out of that. That was their code word. Yeah, that's subterfuge. During the Ted Thompson era. So Gutekunst was asked about this yesterday on why bring in 30 college prospects in the past week, including a quarterback.
Sure. Certainly there's a medical part of it. There's a bunch of guys that were not at the combine that we needed medical grades on. So that's part of it. And a lot of it is trying to get to know guys maybe a little bit more. If there's some unanswered questions that, you know, when we came out of the combine or pro days that we didn't feel like we had answered. And then sometimes there's just some subterfuge thrown in there as well.
See, he's having some fun there.
Yeah. Let's do this. You got time for another one?
Sure.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We got Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, standing by right now as we talk to him on the Schneider Orange Hotline, talking some Green Bay Packer draft football. We've got more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, using the Wisconsin cheeses, sticking with the hometown team, and they put it all together, and they've got the best Wisconsin mac and cheese now on the menu over at Cousin Subs, whether it's a compliment to your favorite sub or maybe a meal off the kids' meal. Regardless, Good stuff going on over at Cousin Sub. Stop in, check it out for yourself. Plus, you can place an order online and maybe even get delivery at select locations. It's that good. Go to CousinSubs.com, download the app as well, and don't forget the Cousin Subs is the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, continues on. And so, Michael, there are some people, even though we were talking about quarterbacks, that we would like to see maybe come into this situation.
Yeah, and what I'd like to see Green Bay do is help out on defense, particularly in a draft that all the scouts say this is a heavy draft in defense, especially in that first round on Thursday night. And so some of the guys that I was most impressed with at Combine, and, you know, I printed out some of the top mock drafts the week of the Combine, and, you know, that's all based on what these guys saw during the season when they're playing football or at the Senior Bowl. And it's amazing how these guys then go to Combine or their pro days, and they have great times, they have poor times, great bench lifting, bad bench lifting, whatever. They do something bad in an interview, and some of these guys drop like rocks, and other guys somehow shoot up. Devin White was a guy who was supposed to be right there for the Packers. He's now moved up into the top 10. But it's the NFL draft. Teams get crazy, and they trade away four picks because there's some quarterback that they want or whatever, and maybe this guy could still hover down and, you know, be there at 12. I love this guy from, you know, his high school career, 5,000 yards offense, scored 81 touchdowns, and on the other side was all over the place on defense, and LSU grabbed him and picked him up. And in his freshman year, he sacked Lamar Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner. You know, the guy is playing for the Ravens now at quarterback. This guy is fast. He had the 4.3 of 40, and I think he would be great lining up next to Blake Martinez, a speed guy next to Blake, who's just so, you know, reliable as a leader out there. And so Devin White talked about he has kept a diary about his progress and his years playing for the Tigers.
Put the work in. You know, I showed it throughout my career. You know, I progressed every year. I did everything right on and off the field, you know, as far as, you know, being a great guy, you know, just having an attitude, going to work every day, you know, leading my team. That was the biggest thing. I was the leader of my team. I was named team captain 2 years in a row as a sophomore and a junior. So, I mean, I feel like I put everything together. You know, I came out here and I'm ready to compete. I've been doing a lot of formal interviews and I've been knocking them out the park. So I'm just doing everything right.
And Devin White's a funny guy, too, because he's in college and he just kind of got into horseback riding. And now he's got a bunch of horses. And he said that whenever he gets interviewed by these teams, they say, now, are you still going to be into horseback riding if you get in the NFL? I mean, you're going to bring the horses to New York or Green Bay or wherever?
Mm-hmm. I mean, most people be like, you know, if we draft you, are you going to bring your horse? And I'm like, how's the weather? You know, what type of environment is it? Because I haven't been in a lot of places. Like, I've never been in New York. You know, I met with the Giants. I was like, I've never been there, so what should I expect? Could I bring a horse there? I mean, everybody really fond of it, and they think it's really funny to see a football player riding horses. I got seven. The first horse name is Ricky Bobby. So I got, now I just be naming them like, I got a horse called Sugar, Sweetheart. Man, just whatever comes to your mind the day they born and you first see them.
It's nice that he's got a Ricky Bobby horse. You're not going to be riding him down Broadway if you go to New York.
No, probably not. Or down Oneida.
You know, exactly.
By the Clark Hinkle practice.
Yeah, exactly.
So another guy I like that might be there at 12, can help you out on defensive line, is Ed Oliver, the big kid out of Houston. 6'2". He benched 32 reps at the Combine. And Ed, man, this kid is like, I don't know, 22 going on 32. He's just so much more mature. And the way we talked to him about whether he would be able to play a 3-4 or a 4-3, because he's been basically a 4-3 kind of guy when he gets into the NFL.
A four-down front. If a three-down front team give me two, I'd be happy. Play a little nose, play a little 4-hour, but a four-down front, I'd be happy there too. I'm not against playing outside back. Like team said, they want me to work out at outside back. I'm not against that either. Whatever makes the money, that's what I play. I'm a football player, honestly.
So even though you got Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark at nose, you know, and Dean Lowry, I still think that this would be another guy that could really help Mike Pettine have some depth. I don't know if Mo Wilkerson's going to be back. That was a pretty severe ankle injury. He had surgery and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's around the facilities. Packers with an unusual, well, it's McCarthy era is over, man. The vets, Aaron Rodgers and gang, are there today with a veteran minicamp before the draft. The schedule's completely changed around from what it's been in years past, but that's a guy I'd like to see. One other one is Devin Bush, you know, a shorter guy out of Michigan, fast guy, but he's He's like those really speedy linebackers that the Cardinals started using a couple of years ago, that the Falcons used, like Deion Jones. And, you know, he's just a ball hawk and got the speed. Again, speed at linebacker, I think, would help out Green Bay with some of the other guys that they've got that they're bringing back and the guys that they just picked up in free agency. Devin Bush out of Michigan, he might be there at 12 Thursday night for Green Bay.
I just want to showcase my talents and show why I belong, you know, to be in the NFL and why I'm a premier player in this draft. And, you know, I just want to show I'm one of the best defensive players in this draft. And, you know, Telvin Smith, Deion Jones, Levante David, Quan Alexander, just those guys, you know, we all built similar and we have similar game type. You know, we fast, twitchy linebackers and, you know, we playmakers in the middle and we can go from sideline to sideline.
So I'll have reports for you all weekend from Green Bay, Bill, on the draft show on Thursday night.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be interesting as to there's a lot of anticipation for both draft picks coming out of the first round. Mike, always a pleasure. Enjoy it and stay safe. We'll talk to you on Thursday, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Mike Clemens joining us from NFL Sirius Radio. Our Green and Gold Insider joining us from up there at the bowels, that is Lambeau Field, as they get ready for the 2019 NFL Draft. More draft coverage coming up next. Dan Shonka from Our Lads Scouting Service. He is going to be joining us on the Bill Michaels Show. That is coming up next. Stay tuned.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.